you ever been to a volcano?
When it was erupting?
You're now listening to Super Hoopers.
They're a bunch of guys who ain't never played the game.
Super Hoopers!
It's pretty. It's so pretty.
We just won a fucking
war! That's what you said, bro.
Well, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about
Super Hoopers!
That's terrible.
Welcome to Super Hoopers, an inconsequential discussion of the week's NBA news. I'm your host, Matt Hill. With me, as always, is...
Breaking news, Matt! Breaking! So,
hold on. Let's get the time. It's Tuesday, June 20th. It's about 6 o'clock Pacific.
The retweets are going crazy. 391, 397, 400,
so
404.
The NBA has gone crazy. John,
NBA has gone crazy,
something,
Matt.
Something crazy has just happened. John's waiting to tell it to me on air. John has the breaking news Twitter open.
From Mark J. Spears.
Mm-hmm.
The Atlanta Hawks have agreed to trade center Dwight Howard to the Charlotte Bobcats. Sources tell ESPN's The Undefeated.
I mean, that's,
is that
you,
real?
You built it up. I thought it was going to be something bigger than that.
It's Dwight Howard getting traded.
You know what's funny? Earlier today...
Wait, how are you not shocked by... I mean, this is like the fifth thing that has happened today.
I know. I'm
you're really dead inside.
I'm desensitized to anything happening with the NBA because everything is going crazy.
Wow, this is crazy.
Burn it all down.
I love it.
No, but earlier today, Atlanta and Charlotte agreed to a Twitter trade. The two Twitter accounts, I don't know if you saw this.
Oh, I did see something.
They were like, the Twitter accounts like had a little joke. I'll trade you a tweet later for a tweet today or something.
Oh, yeah. I did see that. So that's pretty interesting.
And then they actually traded. The Twitter accounts.
Oh, really? What they?
Well, they actually traded Dwight Howard. So.
Oh, and then they traded Dwight Howard. Yeah.
So they.
Wait. Oh, is that fake? No. Oh, wait. No, it's not.
It was like the people who run the Twitter accounts were like having a little goof on each other.
Earlier today. But this tweet's real.
No, this one's real.
Okay, I'll be honest with you. I was at work and I got caught up on a fake tweet that could have been disastrous.
Oh no.
Who was it? Mark Stein had tweeted out, we were shooting I'll peel back the curtain here.
Mm-hmm.
We're shooting Facebook Live, right? During
glamorous.
Yeah. And at one point he tweeted that LA was, you know, looking to trade for Paul George, right? Mm-hmm. Him and Ramona Shelbourne got word. And so that was a real tweet. And then I looked, and then the fake Mark Stein line was the one underneath him.
Uh-huh.
So the follow-up tweet was, you know, for like the 27th or 28th pick and something. So the detail. So I showed it to the producer, and then they were like, we talked about it live. And then afterwards, I was like, someone came over and was like, fake news.
Shut it down.
And then I was like, I felt really bad.
Yo,
the first half was real. The second half was fake.
We need to get like whoever runs one of these fake accounts on the pod sometime. We should get them on.
Mm.
Just find them out. Find out what are they up to.
You know what?
What do they do? Just for giggles?
I really don't want to.
Okay, all right. Then we don't have to. All right.
You know, mostly because...
it's not a noble profession?
It's not a noble profession. It's probably just a shitty person, mm-hmm. and they probably need that. Like, that's like their thing. They're like, oh, look, I got it.
You know? I got him.
This is more fun than kissing girls. Who needs to know what a boob feels like when I can come up with Adrian Wojnarowski and trick people? Look how great my life is.
I've learned what 18-year-old me would be doing if I was 18 today.
It's probably to be honest, it probably does feel good tricking someone.
Right.
But,
man, so much has happened. I think maybe we just go back in time. We just start with the most recent thing and kind of move back.
Start with the recent? All right, yeah.
So let's talk about the D'Angelo Russell trade.
That is the most.
So they trade D'Angelo Russell and Mozgov for the 27 pick and Brooke Lopez. Is LeVert in the deal? Did we ever find that out?
No, we found out that was fake news.
Okay, that was fake. All right.
Yeah.
So you're an objective person.
Very objective.
I mean, not really. You're not really. I mean,
but I'm always
what
smart.
Do you think, what do you think about this trade? Because the Laker fans on Twitter hate it.
Yeah. Here's my immediate thought.
Mm-hmm.
Totally see why both sides did it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think so far most of the trades, and we'll get to the other trades later, but I think that it makes sense for both sides. I thought that maybe I'm wrong, but it seemed like the Lakers should have gotten more.
Mm.
See, I see why the Lakers did it because, look, they're just over D'Angelo Russell.
Right.
And I agree. Like, he's immature. He hasn't shown signs of hard work and all that stuff. And LA is not the right place for him. I also think that he still has a lot of talent. I think he's barely 21. You know, he's putting up 15, 6, and 5. At 20 some years, you know, at 20 is really, really good. But I thought they could have got more. I'm surprised another team didn't offer more.
Maybe they could have gotten more. Maybe everyone knows. Maybe when everyone knows Russell has character issues, and they're not willing to give up stuff for him. I mean, rumor was they tried to shop him for like a higher pick, and just none of those teams wanted him.
But that seems just crazy to me.
I don't know. Maybe,
you know, because this draft, look, this draft is very good, 1 through 10.
Oh, now we're back saying it's good.
Well, 1 through 10.
The narrative shift. It was like the draft was good, then the draft was garbage, and now it's back to the draft being good.
No, the draft has always been good.
Okay.
It's always been good. I wouldn't trade him for...
Russell?
Yeah, I wouldn't trade D'Angelo Russell for up to probably the 9th pick. Maybe even like 10. Like, the guys from 10 to 14 I haven't studied, so I wouldn't say. But like the 17th pick? Yeah, no one... There's not a single person that is watching this draft saying that the 17th pick is going to be good.
Well, see,
I would take Russell over
this. This trade's a tough one for me because, you know, I'm always right. And so
it's very true.
And so seeing on Twitter that everyone hates the trade, it's got me a little shook because I love the trade for the Lakers.
I think it's a good, like, look, here's my thing. I thought they could have got more. Doesn't mean I think it's a bad trade. They need to get Lakers have bigger plans. D'Angelo's not working there, right? It's just not going to work.
Yeah.
And if you can move that Mozgov and now get the 28th, good.
It's
good
27
deal.
Pick, I think. I don't know. 27, 27 pick, 28, yeah. Whatever, it doesn't really matter. Let me just break it down. I have a new rubric.
Ooh.
From which I can explain everything of the NBA. I call it the three eyes. All right, you ready for it, John?
Okay.
The first eye is me. I'm always right. I know what I'm talking about. All right. The first eye is I.
Okay. Okay.
Second eye is intangibles.
Okay.
Third eye is injuries. Because I always talk about this. I don't think we pay enough attention to injuries and intangibles. They're the two things that can sink a guy's career, and we just sort of ignore them. When you look at Russell,
do we though?
I mean, maybe we don't, but a lot
the
of people,
injuries we don't.
But a lot of people just go, "Oh, assuming health," or they say, "Okay, this guy, he's going to be fine." They think, "Oh, one injury, he'll definitely recover." You know, they kind of just.
That's true. That's true.
And intangibles, everyone's like, well, we don't really know. How can we really tell?
Mm-hmm.
With Russell, Byron Scott hated him, basically said he had no work ethic and was just like a douche. And I was like, well, okay, Byron Scott, like, he's also an asshole. So, you know, what are we going to do? But then Luke Walton comes in. And then by all accounts, Luke Walton also hates the guy. Like, Luke Walton is saying the same things that Byron Scott was. So you have two different guys. And Magic Johnson apparently doesn't like him either. So it's like three different guys with three very different personalities all don't like the guy. And all the whispers, anybody I've ever heard, like being, you know, in LA, anybody I've ever heard connected to Lakers just trashes Russell.
Yeah.
Mike says, the guy's an asshole behind the scenes. He doesn't work hard. He doesn't care about basketball. So, okay, yeah, he's 21, all right? Maybe he could turn that around. Maybe he can mature. But I would bet on that not happening.
Yeah.
You know, some guys mature, but more often than not, like, who you are is who you are. And I know that's like crazy to say because NBA Twitter is like so pro player. Like, there's all these guys on Twitter like just defending his character. Like, how, we don't know any of that. We don't know that.
He's like, garbage. Dude, he's a garbage person.
It's the NBA. They're not all going to be great guys. Okay. Yeah. I know we all want to think they're great, but they're all not going to be great guys. And by all accounts, he's not a great guy. So if you can get him off your team, bad locker room present, and just be like, look, this is Lonzo's team. We're drafting Lonzo. Turn no question marks, no whatever. It's Lonzo's team. By all accounts, that was a bad locker room, too. There's a lot of guys like that. Like, apparently Randall doesn't work hard.
Yeah.
Clarkson, similar. So, it's like, if you can kind of transform that culture, why not?
No, that's why I think for the Lakers, like, look, it's a good deal. It makes all the sense in the world. You want to get Paul George. You want to go after some bigger guys. You got to clear space. If you're Magic and Rob Pelinka, you're stuck with some of this crap. So, you know, do it. It's great.
My thing is, Mozgov.
You know, and if I'm the Nets... That's great.
If I'm the Nets, I also love it because I'm like, all the things I just said, he could turn it around.
He could turn around. That's the thing. And
he has the talent.
He has the talent.
He has the basketball talent. It's just the personality stuff.
It's the personality that's bad, which, you know, you got to hope that a change of scenery can reflect it. We've seen that with J.R. Smith. We've seen it with Zach Randolph, Kyle Lowry. There's guys that Rasheed Wallace. And, you know, So I'm all fine for it. And, you know, you're basically taking two more years of Mozgov, you know, because you know, you had Brooke, you know. Great. I love it. My thing is, I'm surprised, and maybe I'm wrong because I don't know, but like, if I was Sacramento, I'd offer more for her.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but we never know what.
Exactly. Exactly.
We never know. I mean, I'm sure they.
That might have been the most they could get.
You hope they did their due diligence. I mean, it sometimes comes out, like with Vlade and DeMarcus, it was like, well, actually, there are better offers.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean?
So, or the Pau Gasol trade. Famously, when the Lakers got Pau Gasol, all these other GMs were like, we didn't even know he was on the block.
Exactly. Exactly. That's kind of what I feel. You know, like, that was just my first reaction. Like, wow, that seems low. Now, like, I'm like you. I think Russell has the talent, and like, look, if I was the Sixers, I would have made a run at him.
Right.
Whatever. You take Mozgov. If the Nets have so much cap space, teams with cap space, whatever. Take him, play him a year when you're garbage. He's a fine backup. You're not going to win. And 2 years later, you know, try to stretch him or try to whatever, dump him. Like, it's a bad deal for a team that, like the Lakers, who want to win now or make big improvements. But for the Nets, more power to you, man. You just basically got it.
I just got a congratulatory text from somebody whose number I don't know that just says, congrats, Matt, no more D-Lo.
Oh, that's from Ariel.
Okay.
Yeah. You didn't save his phone?
I didn't save his phone.
Yeah. My fiance is she loves it. She's like, good.
Yeah, well, I don't understand all these Laker fans that love D-Lo, and I think it's just
like, hates him.
No, no, I know. Your fiance hates him, and I hate him too.
Oh, okay.
But a lot of, like, all the guys I follow on Twitter, all the Laker fans I follow on Twitter are losing their minds. Like, want to burn Magic and stuff.
Well.
And I'm just like, dude, the guy's an asshole. Like, I don't know. Like, and also, I mean, also no one loves Lonzo as much as I do. So I just love that it's basically means they're drafting Lonzo, turning it over to him.
Yeah. I mean, I would say the argument, I got two things to say about that. One, look, maybe you move too fast, right? Because you don't need the cap space this year.
Right. That's the thing. Maybe just wait a year. Maybe
just let Lonzo get him going a little more, and then maybe you get a little more for him, right?
But I just think they really didn't like the guy. That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard from people connected. Totally.
But like, you know what? Take the value. Like, deal with it. You know what I mean? Like, this is the NBA's big boy sport. If you don't like him, you know, you got to figure out, you got to deal with it.
Yeah, but you see like a guy like DeMarcus Cousins who like just ruined other players in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Like, he would, like, destroy other guys. And I don't think that would happen with Lonzo, but maybe if he's, like...
No, because Lonzo's going in and it's his team.
Oh, yeah.
And well, you have Ingram.
Not if they get Paul George.
And you have Ingram. And if you have Paul George. D'Lo knows. I think it's
Paul George's team.
Exactly. But the point being, it's clearly not Russell's team. And if you're Magic, you sit him down and say, look, like, this is what I'm going to do unless you shape up. I'm going to trade you to the Nets.
Also, there's value to being, like, look, this is how we run an operation.
Yeah.
If you're a shithead, you get traded. I don't care if you were drafted number two.
Exactly.
Like, for future guys. Like, future guys that come in and like, look, I will ship your ass out.
Yeah.
All right, we've talked. There's so much happening. We've talked way too long about this.
I want to talk about what you're saying about the people on Twitter, though.
Okay, go ahead.
You have to remember, the people on Twitter don't really interact with real life people.
That's true.
So, for them, they're like, this guy's great. Here's my numbers. Isn't it great? And then you're like, yeah, but he's a horrible person. It's like, well, I don't talk with people in real life, so isn't that...
Yeah, yeah. Can't,
wait. You have to actually around other people. You mean an NBA team isn't 13 people sitting in a basement?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. That's weird.
John going hard at the nerds. Today.
Always go hard at the nerds.
All right. So
let's go back
in time to the next thing that happened, which was there were rumors that the Knicks are trading Kristaps Porzingis. So I'm just gonna read.
This was wonderful.
Frequent guest Dave Feudernick, huge Knicks fan, huge KP fan. So I'm just gonna read the texts to him this morning.
That us three were on.
So this is from John. Stay off the internet today, Dave. Dave clearly just waking up at 10 a.m.
#actor's life.
#commercial actor's life. Everyone, if you can make it as an actor, it is really the dream life.
It is pretty good.
So Dave, waking, just rolling out of bed at 10.
I'd been sitting in traffic for an hour to get to work,
I've been up since 5 a.m. with my baby, or raising another human. So Dave rolls out of bed, cashes a few residual checks from his commercials, and texts back.
Watches his actor reel eight times in a row to get hyped.
Yeah, yeah. So he sees that John has texted him, stay off the internet today, Dave. And Dave texts back, ha, 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 why? A minute goes by. Oh, no. No. Another text. No. 5 minutes later, this is truly awful. Like, unbelievable. Sorry, Dave. Oh,
man, tough day for New York. Shout out. Hey, shout out. Rest in peace to Prodigy of Mobb Deep.
Yeah.
Tough day in New York.
Tough day in New York. It doesn't actually look like they're going to trade KP, but still, it just speaks to the dysfunction of the organization and how terrible it would be if you have a that they're actually thinking about trading their superstar, their second year superstar. The only thing that's giving Knicks fans hope.
The best thing was, who was the tweet? Who tweeted out one of the, you know, it was a legit one saying, like, they worked out, like, Markkanen. So we think he'll be just as good. Like, we found another tall white guy.
Right.
We should be fine.
They found KP 2.0.
They're we'll just do that. Anybody. Yeah, the guy who plays zero defense and averages two he's a 7-footer, averages, like, 0.1 rebounds a game.
Well,
he'll just be Kristaps.
That's why they call him unicorns, John. There's a ton of them around.
I know.
You can easily just pick a unicorn like, up.
Let's hope that, you know, Phil Jackson never gets, no one sends him a Frank Kaminsky highlight reel.
Right.
You know? Or a Plumlee. It probably won't happen, though.
Yeah.
I think.
Sorry,
and
Dave.
And Phil Jackson, if I can do a little name drop at the All-Star game this year, which I was a part of.
Oh, right. Well, you weren't a part of the All-Star game. You
I
were
was
there.
A part
of the festivities.
Of the festivities by being there.
Right. Well, you did go to the Michael Jordan party.
We did. I did eat Michael Jordan's birthday cake. So there you go.
That's not a euphemism. That's just for all you people out there.
Anyway. We interviewed Shaq for work, and he said, because they were asking him about, you know, Phil dealing with Carmel and how he does it, and he was like, look, this is what Phil does. He will just put this crap out in the media. You know how many times Kobe was almost traded? He thinks it's going to motivate Kristaps because his 72-year-old brain is like, Kristaps will get traded, and then he'll shape up, and it's like, no.
Well, also,
we'll just get rid of you, Phil.
It came out that KP has had no contact with
the
Knicks.
None.
So maybe Phil is like,
this
will really scare him.
Yeah, this will scare him.
Oh no, I might get traded off this dysfunctional team. Help.
I know. I might not have to play in the triangle.
Right.
What a Phil Jackson move.
So moving again backwards, the other big news was Dan Gilbert, owner of the Cavs, decides not to renew the GM's contract, David Griffin.
Wow.
The GM who built this championship team, by all accounts, is a great guy, beloved by LeBron. And also, he did it in a real dick way where he, like, kind of strung him along.
Yeah.
So that now all the other GM jobs are taken.
Yep.
So now he can't even get a new job. John, frankly, I'm shocked that Dan Gilbert, a Trump supporter and a loan shark.
And a loan shark.
And
a billionaire and a loan shark.
Who could have thought that this guy would be a jerk?
What is he, 5'2"?
Who knows? Is he shorter?
He's short. Did you ever see the picture of him holding his creepy photo of him holding his girlfriend?
No.
She's like 23, like, might be a European blonde. And he just his arm goes up to her waist.
Right.
And he's just creepy as hell.
And she has his name tattooed in Comic Sans.
Yep.
She has a tramp stand up Dan Gilbert
so
thing.
So gross.
This appears like LeBron's gone then after next year. Because LeBron, by all accounts, was blindsided by this and is a huge Griffin fan. So,
yeah. Here's the thing.
Lakers clearing space.
Yeah.
He's coming to LA.
Here's the thing.
Should I buy a jersey now, John?
You should buy a jersey. There should be plenty of leftover jerseys from 2012 when the Lakers fans got all excited for LeBron again.
Right. We have. Yeah. We just keep them on ice.
Yeah, you keep them on ice.
It's just a matter of time.
Here's what I've heard from my inside sources.
Ooh, this is becoming a very insidery podcast.
This is a very insidery podcast, yeah.
So happy we have sources now.
I know. We have some real sources. We've heard all the rumors, LeBron to Lakers and all this stuff, and people are saying he wants to come to L.A. for movies and his wife wants to leave. The truth is, he really loves Cleveland. His wife loves Cleveland. The family is there. She didn't like Miami. There's a lot.
Who's your source on this, John? Is it LeBron Jr.?
It's LeBron Jr.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been catfishing him. I've been mailing him alcohol. All right, that's how I got my source. I just mail them, you know.
The real lack security at the James household.
It's just, well,
there's a package with liquid in it for our 13-year-old child.
I hide it in a teddy bear.
Okay, all right.
And then, I send them candy. No. There's look.
That's a hashtag hoop idea though. We need to look into
sending
alcohol to NBA players' kids to see if they can be sources for us. We'll work on that.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, there's like all these rumors. There is nothing that actually connects LeBron James to the Lakers. Mm. The only thing that connects them is they're the two things that people want to talk about.
Well, I think the Lakers are the premier franchise in the league, and LeBron is the premier player in the league.
Oh, okay. Got it.
But
it's not going to happen.
But what's Dan Gilbert doing here? Does he just not want to pay the guy? Is he mad that David Griffin got too much credit for the championship?
You never know.
What's his play? You never know.
It might be he's never had a GM for 3 years.
Maybe he just doesn't value the position.
He does. I don't think he does. And look, the truth is a lot of it is LeBron,
mm-hmm.
and Gilbert probably thinks that.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't think it will matter too much.
You think if LeBron's leaving or staying regardless?
Yeah.
It's not going to matter who the GM is.
Right. I think he's staying. I don't get the when you break down the Lakers thing, it doesn't make any sense.
But the thing is, like, he has real animosity towards Dan Gilbert. And so now he's like, well, I already won a ring there. I can leave. I mean, if he leaves, no one's going to be mad at him. He won them a championship, right?
Yeah, but do you think that David Griffin was the only thing keeping LeBron on the Cavs?
No, it's just like maybe if they want to go in a different direction, I don't know. It's just.
But they're going to go in LeBron's direction.
You think so? I think.
Oh, absolutely.
I think Dan Gilbert might be tired of it. Like Dan Gilbert might be tired of paying the monies, paying the Channing Frye's of the world and the J.R. Smith's of the world.
I doubt it. I doubt it.
We'll see.
I really doubt it. I mean, look, maybe there's going to be a point where he doesn't pay $100 million in luxury tax.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, Dan Gilbert knows the only chance he has of winning is LeBron.
Look,
absolutely.
I will say this to LeBron James, okay?
Okay, what is
you
this?
You have to take a stand, Mr. James. Do you want to stand with a Trump supporter, or do you want to come to L.A., the progressive ownership of Jeannie Buss, the Buss family, and join us, you know? What do you believe in, LeBron? That's all I'm saying.
Do you though? Yeah. No, he's not coming. I
can't wait, John. I'm getting you a jersey when he comes.
Look, Lakers fans say this about everything.
Well, they said it about Paul George, and Paul George apparently is the biggest Laker fan in the entire world because he's like sabotaging his.
You know what
value.
The best thing about this is? Here's my favorite thing about Lakers fan. They have talked like ridiculous crap for the last 7 years. Like, mm-hmm. we're getting LeBron, we're getting Carmelo, Russell, Westbrook, we're going to get Kevin Love and all mm-hmm. this. And now you might get Paul George.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are like, well, see, we're mm-hmm. back at it. Here's the thing. Your team's still really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be excited for that. I mean, you just had to dump the number 3 pick for nothing.
It was the number 2 pick.
Oh, it was the number 2 pick. I forgot.
It wasn't
yeah.
nothing.
Yes. Yeah,
the number 27 pick we got.
Oh, that's in a worse draft. Great job. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what I mean, I'm happy for Paul George that he loves the Lakers so much, but I do not know why he wants to go to the Lakers. Like, it just seems insane to me.
Yeah. And obviously
why does he want to go to Lonzo's team? We just said this is Lonzo's team.
This is Lonzo's team.
Sorry.
It's Lonzo's team, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It looks like it's going to happen. Like, we should probably just talk about it next week because everything's moving too
fast.
Yeah,
but and from what I was saying earlier, the people that actually know LeBron, like, they say, like, no one knows. Everyone, like, all the speculation of Lakers, like, no one knew. No one knew about going back to Cleveland until the week of.
I feel like
Dwayne Wade didn't know.
I feel like LeBron had kind of had that. And it just sort of, yeah, it did come together last second. Maybe.
Yeah. No, he, like, Wade signed his contract. And then the next day, LeBron was like, nah, I'm leaving.
Pat Riley drafted Shabazz Napier to,
exactly.
to, like, placate LeBron.
And so when they're like, oh, he might go to the Lakers, it's like, first of all, it doesn't even make sense because why would you go to the West?
Right. Well, I mean, I think
it's so much harder.
But if you're washed, I mean, if you're LeBron and you're like, this is the twilight of your career, you want to be in LA where your businesses are, maybe you get a couple banana boat crew.
That's the thing. Complete opposite. If you're in basketball, you don't want to be dealing with all this crap.
Yeah.
It's better that he's far away. And
also, maybe you want to keep your wife out of LA.
Yeah.
So when you're in LA.
Here's the other thing. She wants to keep him out of LA.
Ah.
There's more girls in LA and Miami than there is
in
Cleveland.
Akron. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's the big thing. Like, she doesn't want to do all that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So let's get, now we're going further back in time,
further
all the
back.
Way to yesterday.
all the way to yesterday, a whole 24 hours away.
Let's talk about something that maybe is getting you hyped up, John. Markelle Fultz to the Sixers.
Oh, welcome, my friend, to Colangelo Island. Finally, the rest of the people are here.
This is John.
It's only been me.
For new listeners, that's John's Hawaiian accent.
That's my island accent, brother.
Any island has that accent.
Oh man!
Once you're surrounded by water, Matt, on four sides, you
Matt,
start talking like
can
that.
Can I just talk? About
Go ahead. I'm. This is your.
This
you
is,
have the floor. You have the floor. I was planning on just letting you.
Good.
I was planning on just letting you speak on your reaction
you know,
to this trade. Let's just say, just so everyone knows what the trade is. Number 3 pick for the number 1 pick, and the Sixers throw in next year's Lakers pick if it's 2 through 5. If it's not two through five, it's the better pick of Philly and
Sacramento. Yeah,
right. Unless it's number one, it doesn't matter. It's a first round. It's a future first round pick.
Yeah. Well, Philly
will probably be a good first.
Well,
round pick.
Philly will be in the playoffs in 2 years,
mm-hmm.
So they're out of the lottery. Maybe like the 27th pick, probably.
Right.
Sacramento with Buddy Hield will probably be like the 25th pick.
Right.
So maybe not a good job, Danny Ainge.
Yeah.
Good job. But you know, it's almost tiring being right all the time.
Oh, hold on. That's also for listeners. John is basically the only Sixers fan who loves Brian Callahan.
Yeah.
Who just unconditionally loves him from the start.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. When you're a visionary like I am.
Oh, I mean like literal love. Like love between like, two men.
Like literal love.
Not platonic. Like romantic love.
Yep.
Like in Greek, the Greek eros. Okay.
That type of love. In its purest sense.
Yeah.
When you share that bond with another individual, it just feels, you know, it's a little bittersweet that everyone has finally seen what I've seen.
But at the same time,
they're a little late to the party. But right. You know what? Only one of us gets to dance with Brian. Only one of us gets to dance with Brian.
John is so happy as I've ever seen John.
It's look.
You love the trade, obviously.
All the
Sixers fans seem to love the trade.
It's a great trade, and I'll say this, kind of the same thing with this other trade that we talked about earlier. It makes sense for Celtics too, in that.
That's very big of you to say.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good look. I think they'll be wrong, but let's put it this way: if you think. And my guess is they take Jason Tatum, not Josh Jackson.
Right. That's the word coming out.
Yeah. And if you're Danny Ainge and you think that, which I think is wrong, but if you believe that, then moving back two spots and getting an extra pick is a good move.
Are you sure you want to say that Jason Tatum might not be good? Because Danny Ainge has a stellar draft record. By the way, early shout out. Go listen to the Bill Simmons podcast where he talks about the trade with his dad.
God, that was
you listen to this?
I didn't hear the dad part
yet. My God. So his dad comes in, and his dad is actually... This is shocking. His dad is like the most sane Celtics fan I've ever heard.
Oh, really?
His dad's like, Danny Ainge is a horrible drafter. And Bill's like, I don't know where this narrative comes from that Ainge is a horrible drafter. Let me read you his picks. Then Bill Simmons reads Danny Ainge's picks, and it's like a dumpster fire. Like, it is like worse than I remember. And the dad's like, yeah, that guy's bad, that guy's bad, that guy's bad. Okay, Jalen Brown might turn into something. And that's about it.
Yeah.
And at the end, Bill Simmons goes, okay, whatever. He had some hits and misses.
Yeah. Look, here's the thing. And it's funny, because I got on Twitter and I said, look, here's the deal. And this was before the protections came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, look, Danny Ainge isn't an idiot, right? He has a reason for doing this. I don't know what the reason is yet. And the reason could be wrong.
I think the reason is they don't think Markelle Fultz isn't he good? Or they don't think he's worth the number one pick.
Yeah, and that might be what they think.
And I think, actually, looking back on everything that happened, I think all that stuff out of L.A. about... Because now it's coming out that the Lakers, and who knows what to believe, but now the Lakers are basically saying they wanted Lonzo. Lonzo was number one.
Lonzo was always the pick.
But they're saying they wanted him more than Fultz. So I wonder if all that stuff, we said it was a conspiracy theory last week, that maybe they were trying to get Boston not to take Lonzo.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like
so all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
All that stuff.
So they couldn't hold him hostage.
Right. So all that stuff was like, you know, and then because it seems like both the Lakers and Boston have looked at Fultz and gone, we don't think so.
Yeah.
But again, we don't know anything. Like, you don't believe any of the stuff that you hear.
And also, like, when you look at it, you also have to remember, Celtics have too many guards.
Right.
Right. So then, so maybe they're like, you know what? Maybe Markell isn't better than Isaiah. Maybe we'd rather ride with him for a few more years. You know, he's not going to be that much better than.
Yeah, or maybe they really like Tatum.
And maybe they, and Tatum fits them better.
Right.
You know, so and for the Sixers, though, everyone at three wasn't what they needed.
Yeah.
They all had flaws, except maybe Malik Monk, which would have been too much
for
three.
Which would have been a reach, yeah.
So the thing works. But here's my thing.
This was a tough trade for me because I'm someone who hates Brian Colangelo and also hates Danny Ainge.
Ooh,
but I was like, good trade for both guys.
Kind of worked out for both.
Yeah.
Now, see, and this is what's funny because I went on Twitter and I said, look, I don't think Ainge is an idiot. You know, and everyone wrote back, oh, Ainge is an idiot. Ainge is an idiot.
One of this is the podcast I listen to, Exponent. It's a tech podcast, Ben Thompson. One of the things he always says is a way to do really bad analysis is to assume everyone's an idiot. You should assume people are smart and then figure out why they're doing what they're doing.
Yes. And that was my thing. And of course, you know.
Then he said, unless it's James Dolan and Phil Jackson.
Yes.
Then you can assume. That's what, sorry, he says that.
And that's what I said, like, we're not dealing with Vlade Divac.
Right.
Like, Ainge has
a reason. Well, there with Vlade, it's like, I don't think Vlade is dumb. He's just like, he was brand new to the job.
Yeah.
Thrown into it, has no experience.
And also dumb.
I don't think Vlade is dumb. I don't know. He's a gregarious man. He's made a lot of money in his life.
Did he though?
All right.
So the idea is, look, Ainge isn't it. And then, so my two responses of everyone telling me I was them dumb is one, your favorite player in the world, Sam Hinkie, said he should have been GM of the year. So just stop right there. So if Hinkie thinks he's smart, he's probably a smart guy. Mm-hmm. And two, look, everyone tweeted me Danny Ainge's draft record. Look how bad he is. But the thing that everyone is missing, and I agree, he hasn't drafted well. He's only had two inside the top 10 in the last 8 years. Okay? Of those two, Jalen Brown, third best player.
That one looks good to me.
Right?
That one looks... And also, he was not expected to go three. He was expected to go eight.
Yeah.
And he looks better than all the guys
and
gone
he looks
him.
Pretty good.
As much as it pains me to admit, Jalen Brown
probably
looks,
made
like,
sense.
Looks like a good
the
pick.
The other in the top 10 was Marcus Smart at six.
That one's tough, too, because I don't like Marcus Smart, but... None of the guys taken after him are that.
Is anyone taken after him?
I still ride for Julius Randle a little bit. But.
Okay, fine. But you're not going to... It's not like a, wow, you missed.
Right. It's not a huge
miss. You didn't pass
miss.
Up on Kristaps for Okafor.
Right. Or, I mean, Saric, I think you'd rather have than Smart,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, okay. But he wasn't coming
he
over.
He wasn't coming
great.
Over.
Great. So, really, you're saying this guy can't draft. What do you expect from a bunch of 25th picks, 16th picks, 17th picks? They're not going to be stars.
What's so hard about this when you're evaluating GMs? I know we crap on Danny Ainge all the time, but it's such a small sample size. You're looking at like 10.
He's had like 10 years of
drafting. I mean, but that's 10 observations. In statistics, that's a very very small sample size in statistics.
Yeah, yeah.
Even guys who are good drafters, it's like they could, like Sam Presti, he could have just gotten real lucky, you know?
Yeah, so. Yeah. So I don't think, look, I'm not saying Ainge is a great drafter, but
what you would really like to see doing in order to evaluate these guys, if these guys had to publish their draft boards,
that would be
if
the
you
real
could
thing.
See their ordering year after year, then you could actually evaluate who's good at drafting, who's bad at drafting.
Exactly. But like, look, yes, he messed up on Fab Mello, but who was after him? You know what I mean? Like, oh, that's
tough.
I think Draymond was or whatever. but you know what I mean? Like we can't judge a guy who's only picked 16th to 20th. For 5 years and been like, this guy sucked. When the two times he was in the top 10, he probably did the best he could.
Are you just being super nice to just make Celtics fan feel better? Because they all hate this trade.
No, for the Celtics fans, again, I think he's going to miss. I think he thinks Tatum's going to be really good. I think Tatum could be good. And he might fit the Celtics better than Markelle Fultz was.
Right.
But I do knock the trade for him because that was before when this was like, it's the Lakers pick in Sacramento. And I was like, okay, I'd still do it. But then I look at the protections and I'm like, wait, so the Lakers pick, it has to be 2-5. Right.
Right.
Even if we get lucky and get the number one pick, like we get to keep it as a Sixers fan. So great for us. 2-5. If they get Lonzo and Paul George, they're not going to be the second or fifth worst team. So then it goes to Sacramento.
Right.
Sacramento, everyone's like, oh, Sacramento sucks. Here's the thing. They're kind of on the up. Like, getting rid of DeMarcus Cousins was the best thing they could do.
Yeah, it looks like they're sort of headed in the right direction.
Yeah, so now you got...
De'Aaron Fox, if they get De'Aaron Fox.
If they get De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Scal, and a couple little things. I'm not saying they're going to be good, but I doubt they'll be top four, bottom.
I mean, where would it have been this year? Would it have been like seven or something like that this year?
They seven or finished
eight, somewhere in there.
Yeah,
ninth, so, maybe yeah. somewhere in
now,
there.
Now, but that was a boogie season.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could be in and that range again.
Yeah, which
that's not great.
That's not great.
Yeah,
and especially for the Sixers to get the thing about Markelle Fultz, and I know we were talking about him earlier, right? I don't think he's going to be a super superstar. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's LeBron James, Anthony Davis, or
those type of number one.
I don't think he's that. And very small chance of that. Maybe it happens. You know, he has the talent, but I just don't think he has that. You know,
he doesn't have that extra.
It doesn't feel like he has the extra. But for the Sixers, he is the perfect fit. Mm-hmm. Like, we are talking, like, if you're going to run in there with Ben Simmons as your point guard and Joel Embiid, you want a guy who can play on and off the ball. He's the only one that can get a real bucket. He can shoot the three. He can run pick and roll. He can pass. He's unselfish. And he's big. He's 6'5", 6'10", wingspan. There's no better player in the draft for him.
Well, except for Lonzo Ball.
But I don't think him and Simmons play really that well together. Oh, I love Lonzo. Mm-hmm. I would take Lonzo number one over Fultz.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a little bit where Lonzo would be better with the ball in his hands all the time. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Simmons. Fultz, I think, is a little better off ball. And
a lot of people say that Lonzo's better off the ball, though. So
he is, but I think you want to be like, Lonzo, this is your team. Mm-hmm. You make this thing go. You're the captain. I don't think you need to do that with Fultz. I think he's actually better when he's not the captain.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I think it's more perfect.
We will see. We will see. I'm happy for you, John. I won't rain on your parade. This episode. But I have something special planned for you this summer where I'm going to rain on your parade. Be on the lookout for it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. What is that? Just like
We'll see. We'll see in the summertime. When you least expect it.
Wow. Want some more breaking news?
Yeah, yeah.
Breaking news.
Again, the NBA is on fire.
All right. David Aldridge. Lakers. Per source. Nothing really happened. Per sources. Engage Sacramento in talks that would have sent the second pick to the Kings for Sac's first two rounders, number 5 and 10.
Hmm.
The Lakers would have then packaged one of the Kings' pick with 27 and 28, along with a player in offer to Indy for Paul George. But Kings said no.
Wow.
Why?
Why? I'd trade the 5 and 10 for 2.
Yes.
Get Lonzo?
I would get Lonzo.
I mean, we love Lonzo on this podcast.
I would totally get Lonzo.
That's wild. Yeah. Also, if I'm the Lakers, I'm barely offering anything for Paul George.
That's an interesting one.
It's nice to get him now, but like, I mean, yeah, I saw on Twitter that it was the 27, the 28, and Clarkson
or Randall.
Randall, I'd do that.
I'd probably do that. I think the Lakers need to be careful because if Indiana decides to trade Paul George for Kevin Love, that's probably the best they're going to get, right? Kevin
Love.
Oh,
yeah, of course. If the Cavs are off, whoever's running the
Cavs.
And
if I was the Cavs, I'd probably do it. Because yeah, 1 year.
Because LeBron is leaving for the Lakers after a year anyways. So.
Well, 1 year of LeBron mentoring and showing Paul George what it's like to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Cavs also have bird rights, so they can offer him even more, right? And his salary will be about the same as Kevin Love's, right? He's actually making less than Kevin Love right now.
Right.
And he just fits better, you know? So the Lakers might not even get him.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for Paul George if he's in the finals and he's in game 6 or 7 that he's going to then give up a fifth year of guaranteed money to go to the Lakers. So you got to be careful. You do want to get him if you can. I wouldn't give up too much for him, but I'm surprised that the Kings said, well, no, because the Kings always do something.
Kings be Kings.
Kings are like, we want Aaron Fox.
We want
Aaron
Fox
so much.
He's our guy.
But it's like, just take Lonzo. Actually, you know what they would have done? They would have moved up to 2 and then drafted De'Aaron Fox.
right.
That would have been the thing. Instead of just letting him fall to 5. Wow, that's going to be bad.
Speaking of the draft, I have, this will be the first year, hopefully a tradition. I have our draft board, John.
Oh, we have a draft board.
You and me combined draft board. So basically the way this draft board, this will be our draft board, so you can check to see how good we are later on. If our order matches up with what actually happens in terms of how these players turn out.
Okay.
Yeah, so what we did is we decided on the order together, and then, you know, you wrote a description, then I wrote a description. We traded off.
We did.
Yeah, and...
Oh, yeah, I remember
this.
I think I remember this.
Yeah, and what you need to know, though, just, you know, is that John is, you know, he's in love with Brian Colangelo.
That's true.
You just need to know that going into this list.
All right, so number one, blind by my love. Yeah.
Right.
I almost don't even remember what I wrote.
So number one, we have Lonzo Ball. Of course, as a podcast, we love Lonzo Ball. He's our number one guy. And John, you told me that your ranking of balls are number three, LeVar, number two, Lonzo, number one, Brian Colangelo's. That was your notes. That was your notes on Lonzo Ball.
What is this?
this is our draft board. It's not headlines.
Okay.
Number two,
draft board.
Number two is Jonathan Isaac. I like Jonathan Isaac a lot. The advanced stats like him. And he looks like Ron Artest. There's no joke here. This is just my actual.
Yeah. Really tall.
Yeah. Yep. This is my actual order.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is Fultz. Now, you wrote the description of Fultz. You say
remind me what I said? Yeah.
You say that you have him this low because he might steal your bri-bri away from you.
So, oh.
I guess bri-bri is Brian Colangelo?
Yeah, that's I like to call him. You know, we mix it up.
Number four.
Draft board.
Number four, Josh Jackson. He's super competitive. I think he's, it. You know, we talked about this. I think
You were saying that.
His floor will be a starter, so I like him. Number five, De'Aaron Fox. You wrote this one, John.
Oh, I did.
You say,
remind me what I wrote.
You say his intangibles are incredible, just like Brian Colangelo's unmentionables.
Drop board. Man, I was on one when I wrote that.
You were in love.
I was on one.
Number six, I have OG Anunoby. I just like the guy. I think he could be a steal.
Okay.
So I have him as the sixth best player. Number seven, we have Lauri Markkanen, and
Big Mark.
You wrote about him. You say he's tall, white, and handsome. Almost the complete package. Needs to start rocking large collared shirts. So that's your tip for him.
That's kind of my thing. Draft board.
Number eight, Frankie Nicotine. I don't know anything about him, but I just know he's a European guard. So he's big. I don't know. I think he could be good. Number nine is Zach Collins. And you wrote, see my scouting report for Markkanen. So you also think he should be wearing big collared shirts, apparently.
Draft board.
Number 10, Malik Monk. And you wrote, he's smooth, like the collared shirts I iron for Brian Colangelo every morning.
Draft board.
That's our top 10.
Wow, that was a good top 10. I forgot writing that.
Yeah.
You know, love will do weird things.
Love will do crazy things to your mind.
Yeah. But, You know, on Colangelo Island, days become nights.
Right.
Nights become steamy nights. Yeah, nights become steamy nights, you know?
That's actually, honestly, my order, though, for this draft. So you can check with me in a year to see how right it was. I will remind listeners that when I do my over-unders, I do my top six. I've been 5-1 both years.
Whoa. So, you're rich. You should be rich.
I might know a little more than these draft guys out there. I'm just saying that.
Probably.
Oh, man. Another thing that happened this week, John, that I loved was KD got in a bunch of Twitter fights.
Yeah, he's back, right?
Yeah. So I thought I'd give you a quiz based on KD's tweeting. I don't know if you'll indulge me on this. So I'm going to tell you what someone tweeted at KD, and then you have to tell me the correct response.
Okay, say this one more time.
I'm going to tell you what someone tweeted at KD.
Okay.
Then I'll give you options, and you have to pick what the proper response would be. Okay.
Okay. One of them will be KD.
Okay, got it.
So
someone tweeted at him, "Bro, you are the most swaggerless star of all time. Shame on you for being so goddamn boring." Now, do you tweet back, A, swaggerless star? ? Explain this one to me. So I should be more like you or somebody else? I'm lost. Or B, shame on you for boring shaming me. Many of us are born with boring guy disease. There's nothing we can do about it. Most boring people cope with the affliction by hosting NBA podcasts other than Super Hoopers. Just be thankful I don't do that. Or do C, tweet nothing because you're Kevin Durant?
Well, I would think problem with two, even though it's really good, is probably more than 140 characters. So it's a thread. Yeah.
Thread coming in.
Yeah. You know, let's get a little game theory. Number three makes sense because he's...
Because you're Kevin Durant.
He just won the title.
It seems like you have better things to do than being on Twitter.
But I'll go with one.
Okay, that's what KD actually did.
Is that what he did?
That's what he did.
Oh, okay, wow, interesting.
Next one. Someone tweeted at him, also, KD, I heard you like it when girls fart in your face. Did you ask Dre to do that too?
No.
So option A, bruh, really? The fart in your face comeback? You were doing so well. Or do you tweet B, yes, I love that. The true reason for my awful goatee is to catch the poo particles.
Oh, my God.
Or C, tweet nothing because you're Kevin fucking Durant.
I'd probably go C with that one.
Yeah, okay. All right, last one. Someone tweeted at him, he cares so much about your input. I'm sure he can't sleep at night. Do you tweet back A, I can't sleep at night because I'm too busy finding people to fart on me. B, I really can't sleep at night, but mainly because I force myself to stay woke.
Okay.
Or C, tweet nothing because you're Kevin Durant.
That one's tough. I like letting people know I'm woke. Probably still C.
Probably C because you're Kevin Durant.
Probably C because I'm Kevin Durant because I have millions and millions of dollars.
So B is what he actually tweeted.
Oh, really?
I really can't sleep at night, but mainly because I force myself to stay woke. Now, I can't decide if Kevin Durant tweeted that as a joke or he thought he was being serious. Like, I can't tell, you know, like,
I feel like that.
Do you think he's like, oh, I'm being super clever right now?
Yeah, I think that's like one of his boys wrote that one.
Right.
He was probably like, what should I write?
Whoa, these
and
guys
are like, whoa,
these guys are really getting. You think Bill Simmons wrote that?
Yeah, probably. He was probably, hey, Bill.
Hey, Bill, help me out with this.
The media is out to get me. The media is out to get me.
Help me out with this tweet.
Yo, can you help me out? You're my best friend.
Yeah.
And then Bill, you know, got off his knees and helped write that tweet.
That's John Hill. So let me just be clear. That
yeah,
was John
no,
Hill, not
I have
Matt
no
Hill.
Affiliation with
right,
the Ringer whatsoever.
Right.
Don't
right.
even follow him on Twitter.
All right. Well, John, I don't know if you're scoring. I think you get 2 out of 3. I don't know. Whatever.
Okay. Whatever.
Actually, hey. All the correct answers were C. Tweet nothing.
Yeah. Tweet nothing.
Because you're Kevin fucking Durant.
Yeah. What if he was like? There's probably at one point where he was like tweeting too much, or someone's like, "Man, you gotta get off your phone. Like you can.
Well,
like you shouldn't do this unless you're a champ." And he was probably like, "All right."
He was on an airplane, and he was like, oh, I was on an airplane. I was bored. It's like, do you not know about movies or books? Do you not know about the existence of entertainment, Kevin?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure whatever plane you're on.
I'm pretty sure
you're not on Spirit Air here.
Yeah, any movie would be better. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're in first class.
Yeah.
Any movie would be better than, like, tweeting at trolls on Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, even Thunderstruck, I have
yeah,
to imagine,
yeah, yeah.
is better than,
yeah.
than tweeting at trolls.
You know what? Look, when you're the champ, you get to do what you want.
That's true. That's true.
Like,
and
more power.
Apparently what he wants to do is just
get have people fart on his face.
Feed the trolls.
Yeah, feed the trolls.
Get at me, dog. Should we do Get at me, dog?
Let's do it. Get at me, dog.
This is where John and I tweeted NBA players to score points if they respond. This week, we did.
You're going fast.
Because people who know the game, you know, it's boring for them to hear the instructions.
That's true. That's true.
Also, you know, if people going at 2x speed, they'll be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What did he just say? I gotta slow down.
If anyone is going at 2x speed, turn that crap off. It's disrespectful
I found the optimal
the work that we put into this. That probably sounded normal speed, right?
Yeah, that's normal speed. For our podcast, I found the optimal speed to listen to it is between 1.2 and 1.4, actually.
No,
for,
it's at 1 speed.
Okay.
The way we and God intended.
No, I like it at 1.2, to be honest.
Ugh.
All right. This week we did Justin Jackson. We did both Justin Jacksons.
Both
so
Justin Jackson.
In this draft class, there's a Justin Jackson from UNC.
Yep.
And a Justin Jackson from Maryland, although the guy from Maryland withdrew. But anyways, we decided we're going to tweet something at them, and we're just going to tweet the same thing at both
and see what we get.
See if either responded. So I tweeted at Justin Jackson, you're a top 5 talent, but your normal name is holding you back. Here are some suggestions for better names you could use. So then I gave him a list of better names. All right, here's the list. Just JJ, Justin Jack Father, or Justin Jack No One's Son. Justin Jackson, or sorry, Justice Jackson, DeJustin Jackson, Jack Justinson, Justin, I kind of look like Matt Barnes Jackson, because he kind of looks like Matt Barnes.
A little bit.
Justin Mick Jackson, or Roberto Flames. Any of those I think is better.
How long was that tweet?
Did well, the names were like a note that I screenshotted.
Oh, okay.
So
okay,
I did
okay.
a little feudie, little,
oh,
feudie,
little
feudie cheat.
Tweet. Yeah, that's good.
All right,
that's
what'd you tweet?
I did this really late. I did this right before we recorded. I messed up, so not proud of it. But I wrote, proud to call Justin Jackson a close and personal friend. College won't be the same without you, fam. Fifth floor for life. just hoping to confuse him. Maybe they'd be like, oh, is that the dude?
You're hoping that
Wait,
John...
he was... Was
yeah.
he?
Yeah. No, he? I don't mind it, John. I don't mind it.
Yeah,
did
not
you
my
get
best.
You tweeted that to both of them?
Yeah. I didn't know the guy wasn't leaving college. So
you get a response?
No.
Yeah, that neither, was neither did I. Neither
mine
did
was
I.
Bad. Yours wasn't.
Mine was mine's better on the page.
Yeah. When you read it, you're probably right.
When
probably
you read better. It, it's funny. Should we do headlines?
Let's do it.
All right, John, I'm just warning you, there's some rough headlines in this one. Man. So please edit. You're editing this episode.
Oh,
please
I'm
edit.
Not,
edit freely. All right. Ready?
Yep.
Internet sleuths revealed that LeBron is 0-4 in the NBA Finals when a Transformer movie comes out. Do you know this? This is true.
This is
true.
Crazy.
Transformers director Michael Bay commented, "I make Transformer movies for two reasons, to torture LeBron and to torture everyone who watches them."
Headlines. Yeah, those movies are bad.
Obama sent a congratulations text to Durant. Meanwhile, Trump sent a congratulations text to noted conservative Spencer Hawes. He called the Warriors title fake news and said whatever team has the most whites wins.
Headlines. Probably true.
Probably true.
Probably a little truth to that. That's what makes it funny.
Steve Kerr said, "Sometimes I get tired of doing the humble thing. I want to be more like Draymond. So let me be the first to say, I cannot wait to open Snapchat tonight and see Steve Kerr's dick."
Headline. That was good. That was a good one.
Leaving
that one in.
LeBron said that only two people can score on him in the post, Shaq and Jesus. This just in, breaking news. The Sacramento Kings just signed a Mexican prospect named Jesus.
Headlines.
Don't like that one.
That was okay. Okay.
Cut that one out.
No, I'll leave it.
Ian Bagley.
Bagley.
Knicks reporter Ian Bagley reported that several teams are interested in trading for Porzingis.
Ooh.
Ian Bagley later reported his first name was Ian and his last name was Bagley.
Headlines.
It's obvious, you know. KP's good. I mean, we know people are interested. All right.
Yeah, hold on.
There's a store in Indiana giving out Paul George gear for free.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
When reached for comment, the Pacers said, "We were so inspired by their generosity that we're going to give away Paul George for free."
Headlines.
All right. Shout-outs and beefs. Shout
yeah,
and
let's
beefs.
Do it.
Yeah,
wow,
no, this is a long pod, so.
Yeah, I think we're good.
If you got
we're
any
good.
Important ones.
What do I got?
I'm going to shout-out Aaron Fox, dad of De'Aaron Fox.
Oh, yeah.
His dad said of Lonzo Ball that his son ate his ass twice.
Ooh.
So congrats to De'Aaron Fox, new member of the Eat a Booty Gang.
Eat a Booty Gang.
Eat a Booty Gang, new member.
Yeah, new member. Ate his ass twice. That was always the weirdest diss.
What? That he
yeah,
yeah,
he's like,
it's true.
Like
it's
when
true.
Rappers be like, man,
it's true.
I'll eat the ass. Like, what? Maybe it's a prison thing. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
I got a shout out. I got a Paul George shout out. This is good. I don't know if you saw this, but Paul George, he was being recruited by Penn State, okay? And he didn't go there because he said he got a weird vibe from the football coaches.
No, really?
Yes.
He said that?
Yes.
Why did he meet the coaches?
Apparently they, like, you know, came by just to say hi.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, part of the visit. And he's like, he said he got a real creepy vibe from the football coaches.
This is Paul George.
He said it at the time. So this wasn't like later on.
Oh.
When he went to Fresno State, he was like, yeah, I got a weird vibe from Penn State. This is before it all came out.
That's so crazy.
So Paul George is like a pedophile detector. He should like just quit.
He should.
Quit
he should
and just like go. Walk around
yeah.
hunting pedophiles.
He should like, yeah. He should like, you know, go to Comet Pizza and look for it.
Yeah. You got any, John? No.
Not really. Let's see.
I'll do one. This will be my final one. This one is really this one's gonna be really hard. Okay. I'm gonna admit a lot of things.
Wow.
In this.
This is great.
This is gonna be real tough.
Wow.
This is a beef with myself. Okay.
Uh oh.
And something we have to address. So last week on the pod, we had Stephen B. Smith.
Stephen B. Smith. Yeah, we did.
Stephen B.
Yeah.
Smith on the pod.
Yeah. Analytics guru.
Analytics guru. May or may not have been voiced by myself. May have been their actual Stephen B. Smith.
I think it was. I mean, I remember calling him in. It sounded like he was called.
Oh, that's that. Okay. Right.
Yeah, he didn't sound like he was in a
room.
Okay.
Well, I may have really enjoyed that segment and Googled Stephen B. Smith to see if anybody was talking about it. It's kind of like Googling yourself, right?
You were trying to Google a character?
Okay. Yeah. And what came up was that Frank Caliendo does a Stephen B. Smith character.
You stole from Frank Caliendo.
I didn't steal it, but it's almost more depressing than stealing to know that your comedy mind works the same as Frank Caliendo, noted hack.
He's not a hack. I love Frank. Frank's good.
Just to review the beef, I Googled myself, found out I stole a bit from Frank Caliendo. So I think
that's pretty low.
It was a dark moment for me. But, you know, I actually like this R. Stephen B. Smith character because it's different.
Oh, wait. It says other comedians who do this character. It says right here, Carrot Top, Carlos Mencia. Wow. This is bad.
I know. It's bad.
This is bad.
Although, in my defense, it's not. Our character is an analytics guru. His character is just a Stephen A. Smith impression.
Oh, okay. Very fair. I love his Bill Walton.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good Bill Walton.
I want to bring back our character, Stephen B. Smith, John, but I think we need to call it Stefan Smith or Stephen Smith. I think we need to switch up the name. It's not as good as Stephen B., but...
Yeah, Stephen B.'s so good.
We can't be stealing from Frank Caliendo unknowingly or now knowingly. Wow.
Look, it's very big of
you. That's a rough one.
Very big of you to admit...
To admit my many failings.
Your many failings.
But it's at the end of the podcast.
Because the audience just has to listen to you and then note your failings. Like, oh, wow, that's really bad. That's bad. But it's really big that we actually made it into the shout-out to beef. I didn't think you'd ever get there.
It's tough. As Michael Scott says... you know, it takes a big man to admit it, and I am that big man.
Yeah, you are. You are that big man. Wow. I don't know. I've got to shout out to all the Sixers fans that had to deal with this crap for the last 4 years.
Well, shout out to Retweet Armageddon. That was great.
Retweet Armageddon was pretty great. Yeah. And it was funny because I got caught up in it because someone had posted.
So what does it say? Retweet Armageddon is when all the Sixer fans retweeted all the bad takes.
Yeah.
From the past 7 years, anybody who tweeted about Sam Hinkie or something like that.
All the people that said like this wouldn't work.
Those tweets.
People have been saving them
to throw it in their face.
Yeah, led by the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast, which you probably listen to.
I'm gonna lead a retweet Armageddon for Lonzo Ball. All the draft Knicks who've been hating Lonzo Ball.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
I said this on Twitter when he wins the triple crown, the Rookie of the Year, the MVP. And the finals MVP.
Oh, love it.
I'm retweeting everything.
Wow. I almost wanted to do that. I almost wanted to do my Colangelo retweet Armageddon because I almost did. But I was like, you know what? I don't want to, like, let's just enjoy the moment. What also was great is shout out to whoever. Where is it? I don't know his name. I'll try to look it up. But I didn't realize it. But I got in a long battle with this guy, the critic of hoops, who, you know, we don't really name his name. But on February 19, 2015, we talked about Michael Carter-Williams trade, in which we said, you know, we argued about it. And he was like, no, basically, like, Michael Carter-Williams, like, getting rid of him was the end of the process. And it was a failure and all this stuff. And I don't even remember, like, bodying this guy. And he was like, and I was like, well, I don't know. Maybe the Lakers pick will get you something better than that. And he was like, no way, no how, all that crap. And then 2 years later, someone had saved that tweet and then posted him. But it was like a good like string of five.
Right.
And someone else was just like, yo, Jay Hill just destroyed this guy. And I was like, of course I did.
Yeah, that's true.
Of course I did.
Well, but to be fair to this guy, though, I think, I don't know, would I rather have Michael Carter-Williams or Markelle Fultz?
That is really true.
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
That's a rough one. We'll have to see.
Yeah, especially if you're the critics of hoops.
I think, basically, I would say we have to wait to see if you won that, John, and the requirement is that Markelle Fultz needs to be in the league for 5 years.
Yeah.
If he doesn't wash out after five years,
if he's not riding the bench.
Even if he's, like, think the 11th man, I think you still win. As long as he's in the NBA 5 years from now.
As long as he plays something.
Yeah.
Yeah. oh, here it is. At Drew C. Ward, who said, my dude, Jay Hill, ended up being just about completely right this whole feed. Laugh my ass off. You're going to have to take a fat L for this one, critics of hoops. I love that.
I like how you're reading it in like a very depressed way.
Yeah, well, that's probably a Philadelphia depressed way. That guy's good.
All right, we got anything else?
I don't think so, man.
All right. Well, this has been a very nice basketball
This
podcast.
Has been a lot of basketball talk.
A lot of basketball
for us. I can't wait for the second we wrap this up.
To everything. Completely be...
everything.
Yeah.
We're seeing...
Everything will be out of date. This will
Clippers
be,
might look into trade some DeAndre Jordan. There's going to be a lot of stuff. But we'll be back. Are we doing something after the draft? On the draft?
We might.
We'll do it. Right. But thanks for listening.
And until next week, keep hooping.
Keep hooping.
Have you ever been to a volcano? When it was erupting?
You're now listening to Super Hoopers.
They're a bunch of guys who ain't never played the game.
Super Hoopers! Hey, Super Hoopers!
That's what you say, bro.
We just formed a fucking wall!
Super Hoopers!
I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
Super Hoopers!
That's terrible.